the degree that we are studying it and ready to receive and ready to use it. In other words, again, as the tenets of agreement, one is always trying to think how to take advantage of the event. So, someone may point out something to us that we did wrong. They may do it very lovingly. They may do it abruptly. They may do it harshly. They may do it eagerly. Sometimes people like to show fault to someone else because then it makes them feel better. I don't have this fault, but you have this fault. But the devotee is accepted. Trying to use the text on Krishna arranged the meeting, see myself in this way, so that we took advantage. It came the way that I'm not comfortable with, but I'll see how I can grow from it. Let me see how I can grow from what I did wrong, so I don't do it wrong. And let me see also how I can deal with my consciousness that caused me to be disturbed when someone was approaching me in a way that I was comfortable with. Then one grows on both levels. We avoid doing the wrong thing again, and we also raise our consciousness from being affected by feeling that not allowing the ego to be bothered. The ego is very, very unusual. It's like a test I gave the other day. We can stop the sinful action, but then deceive the sinful desires. And sometimes we stop the improper thing, but the consciousness is still self-centered. Or the consciousness is still with the ego. Or the consciousness is thinking that the holy man, I may have made another mistake. Look at the big mistakes you made. You know? Why are you being on me? I just did this little thing. And I don't mean to make that mistake, but I just made it this time. So why are you being on me? So when we have that sort of attitude, then we're not wanting to grow fast enough. Because the person may be pointing out to us, and I need to go back to God. But the Christians arrange for someone to take to her medicine, we take advantage of it. That is the greed. Oh, I'm sick. Let me take my medicine. Let me watch those who take their medicine so I can take that medicine. Not that, well, some people aren't taking the medicine. Therefore, I don't think I'll take it. But we always look for the higher examples. Either the greed is going to hire them, and then try to emulate them. So we do that tomorrow when it's broken in. So we just go to bed in meditation. Waking up tomorrow, very special day. Trying to catch up with greater attentiveness and more spiritual blessings. Feel your whole experience here that you're coming to this surcharged. It requires certain blessings and potency to be able to deliver to us, to be able to reflect more on the spiritual connection that you have, and take your involvement of associating with the spiritual team. By the next 2 days, all of you should all know each other. Now wait for somebody to introduce himself to you. Make yourself available to you. Be free to make yourself available. And any associates you've met, friends, or relationships, follow them through, you know. Right? With the people when you're back at home, get in touch with them. Try to really reflect on, you know, when I'm sannyasis and gurus have been speaking. Many, many years of devotional service and experience in many different kinds. So they're sharing their realization. Your chance to do some services here. Someone has to do something, you need to try to make that into it. Constantly take inventory. Because you can even keep a journal while you're here. So you can be able to reflect back on it a lot better. And realize that most of you maybe will get sick, it's beautiful. Sick means simple, thoughts and simple actions against us. Especially when you want to be done. Be very careful because you make an offense. It's very fascinating. But we always have conscious that we are offensive, then we will not be so. We are in conscious of being afraid, simply. Then we will be next to us like that. tell his wife that somebody gets sick, we should care for each other. Don't just think that the person will be okay. You know, we're going to take care of these guys at home first. We're going to save the world. Better way to do it. And God's perfect. And then becomes an intangible part of you. Wherever you go, you head up. What is this happening today in the workshop? Being with someone that is very happy at some of the contributions that our devotees have made. And the workshop leader is very happy to go too. One of the leaders in the lodge has been asked, our devotees will be able to come and visit and do some seminars and community building discussions with the community. This is an honor. The oldest Prabhupada community in the whole world, the largest collection of devotees to come from the temple. And the young devotees have been asked to come. Good. If we can do that, and the goal that we are now, that we can become more sharp, we can do something more. From the voice of you, if you remember your name, look at the voice of you, that you can have this prayer. There's a matter of father's encouragement. What are you trying to do something? You're trying to take advantage of. But I know how little, I know how much more you can use. But she's given a lot of fear. Or she realized she's given to be using a lot more. Why are we going to be strong, be fixed? Most important is to be caring. That's the commitment, to be caring. I mean, we have to work this very strong with ego, self-centered. We work on that, and that will become more powerful. Krishna will give you more service than you can handle. More opportunity than you can get. You can be able to give. More realization than you can understand. But if it's too self-centered, then you close that thing. If you haven't done it already, then past few days, think each day out. Begin every day, end of the day. Especially end of the day. Just try to reflect on what you're doing, what you're thinking, what you heard, what you understand. See if you're keeping yourself steady, or you're getting too distracted by what you're doing about. Remind yourself of the spiritual place. Now you're trying to absorb, trying to bathe.
सिद्धांतां विचारितवान् इति भक्तिवरान्त स्वामी तिरुपाद
Sometimes one takes advantage of the environment, and when you go back to your station, you go back with accelerated consciousness. It's like many people get sick when they come to the Dhamma. It's purifying. Because especially when you go to even more so in Vrindavan. Very likely you get sick. Some people get very, very sick. If you make aparads in the Dhamma, you can get extremely sick. Sometimes it can become chronic. Sickness can carry you for the rest of your life. So we are in an environment where you can, whatever you do, it is more expedient and it has more effect. I mean, whatever you do that is good, you will get more benefit than you would normally. You're chanting around with these holy dhammas, there's more benefit, more blessings is there, more potency. You're arguing with somebody, you're in some type of material consciousness, it's much worse, the effects of it is many, many times worse. What happens in the dhamma is that you often get immediate reactions. Especially when you go to Vrindavan. Mayapur is some of the more merciful. You can get immediate reactions for whatever is there. So I'm hoping that as you've all been here, you've been trying to hear attentively, you've been trying to chant more attentively than even you normally do. You're trying to be more careful in how you associate amongst yourself, associate with other devotees. You've been more careful to look and listen to the noise in your mind, to check any noise that's there. There's not any vibrations, any sound, any reflections. It's not about a high level of service. If you've been doing that, then when you leave here, you're going to feel a surcharge in consciousness, greater understanding. If you didn't, when you leave here, you're going to feel, all right, so what? So I went to India, I saw this place and that place, I met these people, all so what? Or you're already in a mindset of qualifying. The interesting thing happens, and you've all experienced some of this already. When you come into such an environment, you find yourself going through different mind shifts. Some days and some moments you feel very enthused about being a devotee. You feel very excited. You feel very positive. And other times, you're completely pretending because you feel totally miserable inside and you're trying to hide it, but you feel totally miserable. Because the sadhu sangha, especially in this kind of environment, it brings out and exposes what you really are. So I want you all to be reflecting back your first day to today, and you look and you see the kind, you kind of try to take inventory of how you've been thinking and what you've been perceiving, how you've been processing. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is trying to tell you something about yourself. You can't hide as easy in these kind of environments. But you see, sometimes your mind is looking around and trying to evaluate devotees. Sometimes your mind is thinking, oh, I should have been here, I should have been there. Sometimes your mind is fault finding. All of these kind of things. If that's been basically where your mind is at, you got a lot of work to do, which is practically all of you. Because I know how your mind is thinking. When you're in these kind of environments also, gives you a chance to try to appreciate so many different devotees, different types of devotional service, so many different places in the world. Gives you a chance to see the vastness of the transcendental family. It also gives you a chance to see the difference between the reality of the ultimate goals that we're trying to attain and the present practice. And so in many, many ways our practice needs a lot of work to come up to the actual reality. If while you've been in these environments, you felt anything other than feeling very humble and eager, this is what you should basically feel. You should feel eager, you should feel humble, and you should feel unworthy. If you felt anything other than that, then everything else that you categorize in mind. You're feeling, oh, this little place, this little village, this little village, this little thing, this little thing. Why this problem? Why that problem? And it means you're seeing the problem so much outside of yourself. The Dhamma is a place for self-investigation, purification, and a chance to become, become fully spiritualized, surcharged. And as we do, then the Dhamma begin to unfold for us. And as we do, then the books and things we've read before, and we begin to connect with what we read, what we visit, and begin to experience things beyond our normal sensory perception. See, Krishna is a famous trickster also. He's yoga, so he's a supreme mystic. And so he arranges to cover himself from those who are not approaching with sufficient love and devotion. So sometimes people even come and they visit the Holy Dhamma, they go back and they bloop. Because they have so much contamination, when you have to look at themselves, instead of looking at themselves, then they decide to not operate on themselves, and therefore in order to maintain that kind of mindset, they usually have to go outside of devotion to maintain that type of mindset. It's like when we have marathons sometimes. It's going to be very purifying, but sometimes it has a way. Devotee is not attentive, it has a way to blow the devotee out. So you should be processing what's going on in your consciousness every day, what you're hearing. At the end of the day, you monitor what you've learned. what you've learned in general about the society, about the movement, what you've learned about yourself. And you see how you're going to use that in order to be a better devotee. It all starts from your immediate environment. First thing is that you should all, by now, be knowing each other. It starts first in your immediate environment. You should all have met some friends, some people to associate that you know, that you'll be writing to and in touch with. That is practical. That should be an obvious. You didn't just spend all the money to come all the way here so far just to clap hands and then go back and business as usual, or just to be some type of spiritual tourist. But the idea is that you came to work on yourself, try to understand more about what you are connected with, and to try to appreciate more the bhakti that's going on in different corners of the world. So, and if you've done that, then each day you'll have a feeling of goodness, a feeling of well-being. If you don't, then you'll carry all kind of inner turmoil, trying to process and wonder what is going on with you, because you will not feel, natural, you will not feel enlivened about what you're experiencing. When we go on these parikrams, we go to the holy dhams, for instance, visit places, you're walking right into transcendental force field. Because the other day when we were visiting, you know, the yoga pit, so there was a mean tree. Lord Caitanya was born. He took birth when he came into this material world. So that's the same mean tree. So not only are you hearing about the pastime and seeing it, but being able to enter into, without being conscious of it, being able to get some contact with the surcharged bhakti that has been permeating in those environments. So one of the reasons why sacred pilgrimage places are important. They're important because Lord's pastime, or his pure devotees, have had pastimes there. And we know that what a pure devotee uses, touches, associates with, if a pure devotee uses something, that becomes what is called tadilya. It is blessed because it is some of the pure devotee's love and consciousness goes into that, so it becomes surcharged. So in such places where such souls have circulated, have been in those environments, and they are surcharged. That's why you see people come and they touch the ground and they roll in the dust sometimes, they offer obeisances, because they're having some understanding that this is holy. That's what. And we benefit by something, by the involvement, but also according to the degree of clarity of understanding. When you do something, when you are connected with something powerful, benefit is there. But the more that you have knowledge of that and appreciation, then the more the potency is. Because you know the other side, I've already said. And where you don't understand it or deal with it improperly, then there is some, you know, there is some penalty. So I mainly wanted to see if there's some questions that if you may have had during these, as you, you know, some of you have had all kind of unusual experiences. Have you been here? I hope you've been talking to a lot of people and listening close to the classes. So many sannyasi gurus are giving the Bhagavatam classes. Especially those going to the parikram every day, you hear 5, 6, 7 different classes, different speakers. So you may have some questions. Because I've been bouncing here and there, you know, I haven't been able to force to be together to have much discussions. But Prabhupada wanted, he wanted GBC men to first to think internationally, or think globally. This is the makeup of what Prabhupada wanted the GBC to be. We're to think internationally first, not that we think our zone, my devotee, my disciple first. We're to think about the world, and then we think about how what we do complements that. So we shouldn't get into some kind of sectarian consciousness that my guru, yes, we do have a particular alignment, but our alignment is that we are part of a vast Vaishnava family. So it's a big, big extended family. Otherwise, we even get even more sectarian. We think, so my guru, American, or my guru African, or my guru this, that. This is all material consciousness. Ultimately, Lanijananda is guru. And every mentor somehow is trying to be an assistant, assisting and trying to help Lanijananda. So in that sense, guru is one. That guru's duty is somehow to try to encourage us for Krishna. So there are different ways of doing that. Everything has personality. So personality is there. But the idea is that guru is a catalyst to help us to try to love God. So we have a particular alignment, but we should never be thinking, so this is my guru and that's his guru and her guru, and have no respect for other spiritual authorities. The idea is that you treat guests always with the most utmost care, and you treat any other guru at least as good, or if not better, than you treat your spiritual master. That is proper etiquette. Not that I do something for my guru and I don't have time. I'm not concerned about others. No. A proper family, so relationships are there. You have grandfather, you have father, you have uncles, you have aunties. And when the bhakti is mature, then it's natural that you're carrying that love and affection. It's not that it's something that sectarian is here, there, there. If it's with you and it's mature, then it's constant, it's consistent in that sense. So, we can address, see if you have some questions. But before that, I want to give you one assignment. Now, tomorrow is Gaurapurnima. So tomorrow, it's like we have Janmashtami, when Krishna appears in this world. So tomorrow is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appearance. It's his appearance day, birthday. So this is really our in one sense, this is our new year, so to speak. We say Janmashtami. We have many new years. We have January 1st. We have Janmashtami. We have Gaurapurnima. But in one sense, this is even more so our new year. So, if some of you can today, if not tomorrow, we want you to spend some time and you just write a letter. You address that letter to Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya. And you write and you emphasize three things in your own way, in your own expressions. But you thank them for somehow allowing you to come to be a part of this Mayapur experience. And they have had their pastimes, bringing some aspect of the spiritual world into the material arena. The way to open up doors for the conditioned soul to escape. And then you evaluate your consciousness and your experiences since you've been here. And you offer that to them. And then you include some points in your own way about from your experience how you're going to use this now in your Krishna conscious development as you go back to your stations. If we take our experiences in devotional service, what does it say when we come to the Holy Dhamma? We take things for granted, we will get little benefit. But if we're very attentive, we can maximize the benefit. It would have been nice if I had this conversation with somebody before you came, so you could have tried to take more. But if you've been listening to me regularly, properly, then you've already been in the consciousness of trying to take inventory every day. You hear me use this word constantly. Every single morning, especially every single night, I look at what I did, what I thought during that day, pray to Prabhupada to be able to say something, do something that will be a sufficient, pleasing offering to him. Every day I'm speaking someplace. Not that I'm just, now I'm here and I'm going to use my mind and just try to intellectualize and speak something. No. To say something that will be a proper offering to my guru. If I'm a proper disciple, then I'm thinking my words and my desires and aspirations to the service of my Guru, therefore, and to offer it as he would want the offering to, you know, to be received. We just do things. You know, you look at yourselves, you look at what you said in the meetings, in the discussions, what you've been saying one-on-one, what you've been doing. You have to think, now, is this what that has been pleasing to my spiritual master? Is this in the mode of what Guru would want? And if you haven't been thinking that way, you've just been talking, then this is first-class neophyte. You're just trying to work things out yourself. You're first-class neophyte. Krishna consciousness is such a wonderful science. It's ways how to get maximum value of that science. So I don't really know my schedule when I get back. Especially where there's our communities, many devotees, even a little while ago, I was talking to devotees from France. They had asked me earlier about being their co-GDC. I turned down all official other positions. But I do want to visit a lot of other places. But it doesn't make any sense if I'm visiting places. And in some of the major places I started, the devotees and I keep those places strong. Keep those places very strong and make them some type of model so that it can be some source of inspiration. Otherwise, we're playing games with the devotional process. So those three basic points we'd like devotees to reflect on. You think about it tonight and tomorrow. There's fast for some time. And there will be several things going on. There will be initiations. I called Kevin and them back. I was going to arrange initiation tomorrow, but now I'm thinking not to do it. I want to wait until devotees consolidate their devotional understanding a little better. But Dalai Lama sent me a message and asked that we wait. So we have to honor that. So we'll have initiations in Gitanagari at some point when I come back. Several other devotees as well. But it's also good that you're here because for this Skorpanima, this is the place to be. And also good for you both of you have a chance to meet some of the other devotees that you haven't met. So tomorrow they'll be announcing after Tulsi what the program will be. But do realize that by it being Gopranima, there will be special blessings available in the atmosphere. And if you can intensify your consciousness, you can be able to catch up on some of those blessings. We're in the Holy Dham and at a very, very special time on top of that. See, one has to have loya, has to have greed. That material greed where we push everybody else out of the way to get something for ourselves. The devotee has to have a greed of selflessness, a greed of looking for service, a greed for looking at what one is having as improper and how to be free of that. Constant investigation and inventory. Not that you just kind of, mechanically do things. It's dangerous when you just mechanically do things. And your mind will be going very fast in the wrong direction. So, if we have some questions, we can try to take a few good questions. Farhan? So, Tom, you want to close that door? Speak a little loud. Maybe turn the fan off. I think the fan is kind of noisy. Turn the fan off for a little while. Let's see.
And we have the
sovereign
computer of the Vaishnava.
You have camera you can.
So I can put up everything. I have the software that can.
Okay.
Can complete the issue. I have an expression
for West Africa. Okay. Bahab was asking about if he can get a copy of the calendar before he goes. Especially in West African times, it's very difficult. The mail system takes long. So as far as saying you have your computer here?
I'm a computer. I don't
So you're saying he can have a calendar printed out? Because we actually start a new year on our calendar from tomorrow. So we have all the holidays and the Ekadasi. Any other questions? The other day when you did the Vyasa Pooch printout for me, the tablet needs to see it on the computer. Can you find that for me? Yeah. She's gonna find it for you on the computer now, tablet. First, cleanliness is very important. No question about that. It helps our consciousness. It helps. A lack of it can cause sickness and disease as well. And we always should try to take nice care. We don't have to be opulent, but we should try to keep whatever we have clean. People have different standards about cleanliness. And obviously when many, many people are together, it's a lot more difficult to keep things clean. Because first you have the cleaners, and then you have just the individual people who are dealing with the environment, and for someone may feel comfortable in this in one type of environment, someone not. But I'm concerned whether or not in your mind you ever thought about asking to help to make something clean. I'm wondering that did it ever come across your mind to think, well, maybe I can ask if I can help to clean up here, or if I can do this or do that, something of that nature. I hope that came through your mind. I hope you asked like that. If you didn't, then that's a problem. There's two problems. The problem is that sometimes things are dirty in some environments. But the problem is also to what degree that you decide to involve yourself, you know, to make a difference. Because we also learn from examples. So if we see something is dirty or something is like that, then we can do something to help. Or if more people are sensitive, then less and less is an environment of that nature, but the environment becomes cleaner because one will become sensitive to it. So we can volunteer our help. We can also realize that there's so many people that in general can be difficult. Like maybe some of the bathrooms sometimes. Although they seem to clean them a couple times a day, but still, you know, it's so many people. It's a little bit like going out camping or something. You just automatically expect that you're going to have certain inconveniences, but you're ready to tolerate those inconveniences for the experience that you're trying to get. So that doesn't in any way suggest that one should overlook situation of being not clean. No, we should be sensitive to cleanliness. It's important. But if there's a way we can help, we should try. If not, then we should try our best in whatever environments we're in to see that things are kept clean.
How would you account the covering? So, cause of the cover, that is the glory of God. So we see all these things, dirtiness and unkindness, and so like seven covers actually cover up, but you know the true God.
That aspect is there, but she's talking more in terms of personal things that devotees are using, our own environments. So I'm asking you, did it come in your mind ever to offer your services to help clean?
Did you have your mind to offer about the use of speech? Mm-hmm. Observing how the queen took place one day, I was kind of shocked because there are these basic long teachings to clean off the tops of the little tables, the country tables that he put on the American plate. And the young boy, he was, you know, wiping it off with his teaching, but then he was walking behind it with his chair.
So you upgrade it this time. Anyone else have a question? Chaitanya? Internal, but internal based on instructions. Instructions was that when they closed Prabhupada to do the dressing, they would go for a walk. So if you'd been attentive to that, then you would have known that it was time for going on a walk. So the instructions of Guru is what we internalize. It's those instructions that we live with, whether we're physically with the spiritual master, in this environment, that environment, where the spiritual master is gone, or whether we go, even off the physical body. But it's those instructions that's internal. So in such case, you missed us because the instructions that were passed around is that those who would like to come with us for a japa walk, that when he starts dressing proper, when he puts the curtain in, and it varies sometimes about a quarter to seven or so, sometimes a little earlier, then that's when we walk out. But your other point is good. In Washington, you're able to talk to one or two devotees to get some clarification on certain things. But you always have to, or you, not you, but anyone, you should evaluate things based on the Shastra. So we talk with others, and we get some clarification to help us to understand the Shastra and Guru. So we don't take Guru only, we don't take Shastra only, we don't take Sadhu. But the Shastra is the center. It brings it together. Otherwise, it gets into personality. We relate to Guru based on personality, or we relate sentimentally. Other devotees based on personality. We're always here, but sometimes someone is in a low mode, sometimes in a better mode. We have to be able to get the nectar wherever it is. At the same time, we have to be careful and make sure that it is a nectar, that it is proper instruction. Anyone else?
My problem is the link
between
myself and I do in relation to your instruction. For instance, I can't even know when you're going for a walk. I don't know patience. And I just find myself around without seeing anything. And I just go out of it. So for the one, when a brother who is in the room house, and that's Krishna. So I would believe that your instruction
So let's evaluate that. That's your problem and it's Chanakya's problem. Chanakya's problem because he's staying with you and he should inform you. It's your problem because you haven't taken more time to ask him. You can't wait for people to tell you things, you should also ask. But it's his problem and that he should have informed you. Today when we were on the walk, I particularly asked him, I said, so have you been informing Vrindavan Das? He told me yes. So it's your problem that you should inquire, but it's also his problem that he should have informed you. Not that we have to hear only from Guru and we have no time to hear from anybody else or appreciate anybody else. We hear from Guru how to become enlivened to associate amongst ourselves. We hear from Guru how to serve community better. We get inspiration from Guru how to relate to each other better. So therefore, we have to, as I said, to have that spiritual greediness. So we have to be informed, but we have to also inquire. And then the older devotees, they should be more tentative in trying to provide the care and information for others also. So he make sure that he informs you. Chanakya Shinaki should be informing you, but you should also be asked.
Can you speak more on the apparatus, especially Guru apparatus?
Mm-hmm. You explain to me what you think Guru apparatus is. I'd like you to explain to me.
I'm sorry?
I would like you to explain to me what you think Guru apparatus is.
Well, for myself, I know being when I was sitting for a tour from the dog, that I felt in many ways that I tried to make you too much of a person. And I know that if I try to resist you, I feel maybe too personal. And I just go for it. I realized for myself this whole discourse of anything that you said is that I really didn't.
Because you served with devotion, Krishna rewarded you. To speak like that and to try to understand better how to do what is right is a state of advancement or a sign of advancement. To think, oh, so I was serving my guru, I had a chance to serve my guru, I did this, that was wonderful. On top of it, I had this experience, that experience. But to think that I had a chance to serve my guru, and I should have served better, I should have been more attentive, I wish I would have tried to be more conscientious. That is the right conscience. So, we take inventory to see, of course, next chance we have, how to do better. But that is the right conscience. And because you did your best, see, Krishna and Guru is not concerned with the material expertise, not necessarily, but concerned about the consciousness and the intent. Sometimes a devotee can do something very expert and have complete self-centered or puffed up consciousness and be very proud. And that's not really devotion. Because Krishna doesn't need anything. But when we do something and we really want to do our best and we feel bad that we didn't do as good as we should have, but we really tried our best, then Krishna reveals to us. So yes, some of your service was sloppy. Sometimes there was insensitiveness, but the basic general desire was to do the right thing. And so the resultant was that the stronger aspect was to do the right thing, and therefore you are blessed. So we have many desires. Krishna responds to the aggregate, or the way they add up. They add up to something strong, something that's stronger than the other.
So what it adds up to, that's what Krishna is from. There are many desires for sense gratification, but if our stronger desire is for devotion, Krishna will accommodate. See, in Kali Yuga, it's so different. In Kali Yuga, when you think something improper, when you speak improper, when you act improper, it's all counted on you, complete across the board. But in Kali Yuga, we think some crazy things because our minds are so ridiculous, the environment is so bombarded. So Krishna doesn't hold us accountable for the crazy things we think. But we always warn everyone, and it's warned in the scripture, because if we are comfortable with the crazy things we think, then we'll start thinking crazy and acting crazy. But the mind will think crazy. But then if the desire is strong enough not to do the wrong thing, even though the mind will think crazy, we'll not act upon it. Krishna will guide us. So, the Guru Apavad, as you said, is the situation where we are thinking that Guru is just a personality, a person, physical body. The idea is that Krishna is all about Krishna, and Krishna can use whatever he wants to help to carry his mail. There's a master to act as a postman. The idea that he's not supposed to open the mail and tamper it and abuse it, he's supposed to use it, give it as his commission to distribute it, to receive it as his commission to receive it. It's like I was giving an example how each day I conscientiously, not just think about it, but I consciously take some time out and make some prayer to my spiritual master that what I say, that I will say, what will be pleasing to him. I think I'm just going all around and saying this here, making this feature, this lecture, this thing here, and I'm just relying on my intelligence. Very dangerous. But the idea is you have servants, and when you say something, to increase the service consciousness and service attitude to be some kind of instrument. So in our activities, whether you were in a subcommittee, whether you were walking, talking to each other, whether you were listening to this class, that lecture, the question is how much in your mind were you thinking in terms of you doing this, how much were you thinking that I am acting as a medium for my guru, and therefore I want to receive this, I can use this, I want to say this, and this, so this can be offered in this way, in this way, in this way. There's a science about how to take more advantage of how to advance. Find like what? Visit it. Yes.
Sometimes you may be connected to what is the difference between the two.
Nice question. Yeah, basically we're offensive because we're unaware. And so that's some offense. Some offense even in discanting and looking at the deities because we're unaware. We're still thinking the deity is marble or brass. So some offensiveness is there. But see, the major difference is that if the offense, David is your ki. The difference is, if we make the offense, if we don't have compunction or regret, we can make some offenses unconsciously. And the offense is there, but Krishna is aware of the intent and of the consequence. That's why we should regularly offer our obeisances asking to be forgiven for offenses. It's like whenever Pujari goes on the altar. Before, Pujari is to make prayer to be forgiven for any offenses, asking for blessings to be able to do the service, and after coming off, asking to be forgiven for any offenses. So it's good if we have that meditation in general. We pray to be of proper service for our Guru, and then we conclude our days in the spirit of begging to be forgiven for any offenses that we committed, consciously or unconsciously. And if we look close, we don't have to study it too deeply because we can see some areas that we've made offenses. Krishna will show us. The desire there to grow, Krishna will show us what is intervening with our growth. Like in Kevin's case, because the desire is to grow, he's doing some things wrong unconsciously. But Krishna is showing him because the desire is there. But if we're not trying to be more meticulous, then Krishna will not show us because the desire will not be. So now that we have to really concentrate on every offense, by making nama offense now, by making dhamma offense, by making Vaishnava aparad, by making Guru aparad, by making Shaiva aparad, and our whole day is we're just afraid to do anything because of aparad. But we realize that in general I'm an offensive person and I'm in a contaminated state being this physical world and physical body. It's been going on for many, many lifetimes. But now somehow I want to try to be more appreciative and I want to constantly beg for forgiveness because I know I'm not okay, because if I was okay, then I would be free of mature desires. Any other
questions. Yesterday,
you must have missed it, but yesterday we gave out awards. And second in the world was Mayapur in distributing the books. So I don't know where you were that you didn't hear that. But we gave out awards for a couple of hours. And the Mayapur devotees, it was the second biggest in the whole world for distribution. And then as we were giving out awards to individuals, they got so many awards for the, you know, giving out the largest number of Bhagavatam sets, number of books, I mean, thousands and thousands of each devotee that they distributed. So you have many different types of services here. You have those who are, full-time distributors, and not only are they distributing, but they're only second to the CIS, some of the Russian countries. That's number one. They're beating France and England and Germany and all these other places. And then you have also devotees who are some people who are farming You have those who are doing deity service. In other words, it's already becoming like a city. There's all different types of service. But it's a good sign that here we are in a village, in a rural community, but these devotees are like top, the second in the whole world. Some of you have been to the Gurukul. You see what the Guru has. So that means that preaching going on all over. Devotees are constantly traveling, visiting different villages, visiting different places. And they go back and visit again. And even when they're not there, the program is still going on. This nucleus, they go out, they visit, and then some of those people later become devotees. Some become full-time devotees. Or they become congregational supporters. Anyone else? John, can you answer her? Answer her question. You answer her question. Let's see your question over again. Say it loud.
Sometimes he thinks that let me engage this back to Buddhist. With understanding that it's not because the back is small and because I cannot do this. Or he's thinking that instead of him to stay inside the entity, he may not know how to engage his mind more than you, he's like his senior somewhere. And then how to engage the person or the back that is near one to do much of the study so that he can get more benefits. Because in most cases, if you understand more of the benefits of services, and then you are very expert in doing them, and then you go on doing those services, you see that you're not even giving all that opportunity to do that. I mean, they think that you are not really putting them in. So spiritual grace is based on selflessness.
Interesting point. Based on selflessness. And it can vary according to service, according to the environment. Some cases, spiritual greed is to jump forth and do something yourself. Some cases, it's to let somebody else do. Some cases, it's to show an example. It can really vary. But the idea of the basic platform should be on selflessness. It's like a difference in the material situation. The material situation in Greece is that it is, you want your thing for your, you fulfill your desires when you want, how you want, etc. But the spiritual greed is also intenseness. But it's intenseness about trying how to become a servant, how to become selfish. It's intense about how to try to become more compassionate and more loving. So in that effort, sometimes it means to do more yourself. Sometimes it means to make a greater environment for others to do. Sometimes it means to do and to show some examples. So it's not just the idea of greed, of what I want for myself. I'm going to be greedy for that, for my sense gratification. But it's the idea of greed based on what it means to be eager to become more Krishna conscious. If you're greedy, you're hungry, you're desperate about becoming more Krishna conscious. Otherwise, somebody can say, well, I'm very eager to hear my guru. I'm going to knock everybody else out of the way because I have to get up in front and hear. But the idea of hearing is to become more devotional. But now you're doing something undevotional with the idea that you're becoming devotional. So that's not spiritual greed. The greediness is to become more suits, more advanced, more devotional. Any other question?
It's interesting that the Bible is mentioned that I'm very kind of wanting more. While on Telegram, one of the Maharaj did a class and he was quoting, I don't know whether it was actually Raman, me and Ravita Swaroop, both of them were speaking together. And he gave the example of when sometimes in the past, Prabhupada was in Vrindavan. He was in Vrindavan somewhere, anyway. There were these dogs. They were coming and he was giving prasadam. And among those dogs, the dogs were all making noise, quack, 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 quack. And he said, Prabhupada said, you listen to them. The one that makes the most noise, that is the one that wants it most. And then some days, one was in front, he was making quack, 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 quack. And Prabhupada kept giving that one more. So he was giving that as an example that the spiritual greed, because actually was speaking of spiritual greed. And he said, we have to jump for it, and we have to struggle for it, and we have to make the most effort. And those who make the most effort, they get it. He was giving the example of the dog making the quack, 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 quack. And we're enjoying the time.
So our effort, the difference though is, of course, is the manifest. Is our effort is not external, because sometimes you find the devotee who's always the, you know, Jai Guru Dev, O Guru Dev, is always the first one to offer obeisances, first one to the Jai Pa, Jai Pa. But then when it's your chance to do something serious, something that they're not wanting to do, then they go high. So the greed, of course, is greed in consciousness. And who is most eager, most desperate for that? And Krishna will, you know, we'll reciprocate. But it's never based on this external. It's based on the real sense of hunger there. So when there's great hunger, greater the hunger, more Krishna is there to fulfill the actual need. Greater the hunger, more Krishna uses Guru to feed that particular soul. Anyone else? Not only you, everybody in the room.
It was really good because I got to see a lot of the women to work on.
good happens to you, whether you're here or in another environment also, we can kind of relive those moments by reflecting on them, reflecting on the experience, the realization, so that it stays fresh, stays alive. Because again, the nature of the mind and the body, it experiences duality. And so there are times when we find that we're very enthusiastic, and there are times when we are less enthusiastic, and there's sometimes when we're just, you know, struggling like anything. This is also why regulation is important. When you're regulated, and even when those shifts take place, they don't bother you so much, because you've already put yourself in certain patterns to do various things, and then you move through those lower ebbs because you have the regulation. The devotees are not regulated, and they get really swept up by whatever the modes that they're experiencing at that time, or whatever the environment is. And when we're finding some lower ebbs or lower modes, we look at it and realize we're going to pass through it. We keep on doing necessary things. We pass straight through it. So just try to keep those, you know, some of the lectures you heard. Try to remember some of the points, some of the places you went that were very inspiring, some of the devotees you met that were very inspiring. Try to, you know, remember these things. And if possible, you know, exchange, you know, addresses, telephone numbers, fax numbers, stay in touch. You know, with you. Anyone? Turn the mic. Yeah, like it's happening already. Just like now, where the Madeline and the worship, and then Linda, also in Kevin. So the 22nd Avenue Project in New York City is just a small storefront, not even as big as this room here, where Prabhupada started the movement in America. So that's a pilgrimage place. And devotees come from all over the world. They come to visit. And they're an honor. See the simple environment of Prabhupada's start. And there's different temples where Prabhupada bowed the deity, so many things. So that question is also answering your first part, because yes, some of the initial pastimes have happened here. But now look how Srila Prabhupada took the spirit of Vrindavan in Mayapur, or he took the deities and he installed the deities, or asked the deity for the deities to be installed all over the world. So this way we are bringing Krishna to everybody. It's like now, okay, so Srivast is building a beautiful temple in Ghana. So now, the temple is being built, and deities will be there. And so even though people have not come to Vrindavan or to Jagannath Puri to see Jagannath or to see Krishna in Vrindavan, but by coming to the temple, they will be able to be blessed by the Acharya Vigraha or by the presence of the Lord. See, when we're talking about Dham Aparad, where the actual pastime has happened, of course, that's more surcharged. But where the temple is, as you've heard me many times say, the temple is not ordinary, it's an embassy. Embassies have special, they're in special categories, even though they're in another city or it's a building, but it's special. So temple is like that. These temples are embassies. Embassies for the spiritual world, embassies for the holy pilgrimage places. So now you get a chance to look more at the source of some of the heartbeat of what's responsible for the embassies. But still, we don't really see it because of our mature vision. Or at least we're associating with it. And then when you go back, it's like now, when you go back, you'll feel even more a part of a spiritual, cultural, obviously, heritage. When you see deities now, a temple idea, you take, Chaitanya-mṛta, you'll be reflecting back more how when you visit all of these temples and places, when you're on parikram, you'll be thinking about this a little more. Each thing will have a little more significance to you. So that is the manifestation of with the greatness. This will help you to appreciate even more how great Srila Prabhupada was, or how great he is, of what he took and just sprinkled it all over the world and asked young men and women to somehow to get it going, to maintain it, to let it happen.
So there was one story of one time you, some disciples of Bhaktivinoda, they went to a place in Kathmandu where my father performed the particular pastimes. And the beautiful city of my father there. So these disciples, they went there, they went to play Dashin, and then they went back to Bhaktivinoda. And they transformed Bhaktivinoda to the girls, paid his Dashin to Mahaprabhu. And then Bhaktivinoda has them that you may give his Dashin to Mahaprabhu. And he said, yes. And he asked them, and he said, you actually have a good time. And he realized that, and they say, actually, we saw Mahaprabhu's mood, the way other people saw Mahaprabhu's mood. But maybe we hope that still, and go to the person and just look at the form. So they were inferred that you don't go to the privilege, because you see that everyone is coming there. That you actually see through the eye of the Lord. Because the Guru reveals the place of privilege, the Guru reveals the form of the Lord. So,
that's
the meaning that the text that we should not impose the effort to get to that place of shadow before we see the truth that the Guru reveals the way and so on.
Yeah, we see with our eyes, we see certain things. But the devotee really sees through the ears. We understand better as we hear from authorized source than we're able to appreciate. Otherwise, it's just like being a tourist. You're just going here, going there, going. Then it happens before you go. And then they see, then they go home. They haven't really seen, haven't really heard anything. They've just been looking at the surface. I'm going to keep it too late. Let me a few more minutes. Can I borrow?
I want to go back to
the
topic.
Speak a little loud.
You talked about the variety of ways of you can demonstrate Buddhist greed and this is what the anchor has, and this is critical to me, when I make that original thought, is, and many times, you know, you're not around.
You'll never learn if you think I'm not around. The point is that when you've had basic instructions that we want devotees to serve each other nicely, want devotees to be inspiring to each other, want devotees to remind each other about the principles, want devotees to help each other in their service. So we have some general principles to guide us. And then we do our best. You make some mistakes, that may be there sometimes. But we have some general principles. So we make some decisions, we think, so what is going to bring about the greater Krishna consciousness? What action will bring about the greater consciousness? We try to process it. When we don't know, we just reflect and we try our best. We approach the situation with a sense of humility and we go forward. One thing we always know is that we never break principles or encourage other people to break principles. Other thing we know is that we're always supposed to try to be loving, selfless, and to try to be a catalyst that reminds ourselves, reminds others, to enthusiastically to engage in Krishna consciousness. We see how we can say or do something that's going to encourage that person to become Krishna conscious. It's going to help us to set an example of how to become. If we make it so difficult, then it will be difficult. We know the basic thing, and then we'll just try, based on our basic things. Guru doesn't have to be around much. Prabhupada only saw his spiritual master less than a dozen times. And that doesn't have to be around the Guru so much. There are many devotees who are Prabhupada disciples who never once saw Prabhupada physically. But then are they supposed to be taking every decision on what they're going to do? Some of the devotees only saw him one or two times. And they were just, you know, initiated the fact. The sannyasis around here, you see, who never physically spoke to Prabhupada. And they are the leaders of the movement. So we get spoiled, you know. We're around doing so much, we just get spoiled. We have to hear certain things and we should live them. Lord Caitanya talked to Sanatana Goswami for about 10 days, gave him the message. One doesn't have to be physically around too much. That's a message. Relax.
Several times, just Maharaj asked us how we discover this place, how we discover how a precise group of devotees have to discover our own for the Lord. And in fact, he did mention that there are some areas that have not been discovered. And kind of puzzled me that
that it's taking what? It's probably that it takes the bodies to have to discover.
Yeah, it's called the bodies.
Oh.
You have to discover some of these places at the present time. Mm-hmm. And it's a puzzle to me because they're supposed to have been there and they're supposed to have been of the same relevance to the people that are living around these places. How come there is no one discovering them, or some of them? I really can't understand.
Okay. We'll take Bob's question, one more question, and then we're going to stop tonight. So, it shows the tremendous empowerment that Srila Prabhupada is carrying. That Many of these great sacred places, even great scriptures, have been somewhat lost to the public. Some cases because as some of the acharyas left the planet, then their disciples started quarreling amongst themselves, minimizing situations, and certain things then are no longer so available. And so, it's like even now, we have, Prabhupada set up a trust, which I mentioned when we had Bhaktisiddhanta Samadhi. I mentioned how Prabhupada set up a trust before he left the planet, where he wanted ISKCON leaders to help to renovate certain Vaishnava temples and protect certain Vaishnava literature, even though it's not our movement per se, but he wanted us to do that in order to keep these sacred things available. So it shows the tremendous empowerment that Prabhupada was carrying, that Krishna is using him to rejuvenate, revitalize some place, cases to discover or bring out certain things that are, you know, great for him. Like he's dug enough temple there that Abhiram was explaining to us the other day. Prabhupada Joy had a dream, and that dream he was told that he should turn the temple over to ISKCON. We've had a lot of different cases like that, different parts of the world. Different parts of India where we have taken charge of the situation. Very special, you know, children that the Lord has inspired, or the Acharya may have gotten inspired, that Krishna conscious devotees should take charge.
I have a very much of the kind of this year. When I used to this, my little family was in the front of my life. And then, and a few other young men from there, they used to carry out for the Uganda, this is the best way to go back to the and you got the sheep catcher away from the house. And so, you know, this is the concept of the conversion and the respection. But it's love for the people who are there for the sheep from you. Even then, if I keep on my thing, that's when you discover the yoga thing, because there's a lot of evidence of China, we need to have to leave, but not to leave in the Malaya. If there's nothing happening, I think this is fine, it's okay to leave. You can have to leave, but there's a lot of
theological.
What I mentioned in terms of
the... It's like you see when you go to Vrindavan, how the banks of the rivers have shifted so much. Some land erosions of the Jamuna getting smaller and smaller in some areas. But it's interesting, though, because as you were mentioning yourself, I think also earlier, Krishna can hide himself in some ways. See, just like we mentioned sometimes how if there's too many offenses, even the deity that's been installed, the deity can leave. So if the environment becomes too offensive, then it can be, things can be hidden for some time. Or the potency can even be taken away. And then when the body of the Lord appears again, then it can be, you know, it can be accessed again. It's a very easy way. You don't have to get into the personality because you have all kind of persons. And you have some who are ISKCON devotees but who become deviants or who fall. We just preach the principles of what a proper devotee is supposed to do, what's the lifestyle of a proper devotee, and if someone fits those classifications, they're a proper devotee. If you don't fit those classifications, then they're not. Proper devotee isn't that supposed to break any principles. That's supposed to eat any meat, fish, or egg, gambling, take intoxication, do some things. So whatever sect or whatever situation or whatever shade of philosophy, whatever situation is, if he's not adhering to such, then we understand he's not a proper person. And if he is adhering to those, then we're happy. Chanting Hare Krishna, following those things. He may not be initiated by our guru, he may not be in our zone, he may not be this or that. It doesn't matter. He's following the principles of liberation, then that is good. Yeah, yeah. But then I think you had a question for that.
Yeah, I was more just some realization about and also about the impact and feeling about how our relationships affect me personally, how I realize about the passion for others and other people. First of all, when I first took my tour, or even before I began the trip, I started my purification process. My purification process is going on. All the material desires that I want coming up with me. And I realized everything that I know that I have in my mind is coming from the surface of the environment. And I recognize the effect of the happening.